In the construction of the Mishkan, the Pasuk says in Perek Lamed Ches, Pasuk Chav Beis, that Bezalel did everything that Hashem had commanded Moshe. And Rashi points out, why did the Pasuk have to say that Bezalel did everything that Hashem commanded Moshe? Just say, Bezalel did what Hashem commanded Moshe. Finished. Why the stress on everything? And Rashi says, because there were some things that Hashem told Moshe, and Moshe didn't exactly tell over to Bezalel. So even those things that were missing somewhere in the transmission, even those things Bezalel did. What's that referring to? Hashem told Moshe to build a Mishkan, to tell Bezalel to build a Mishkan, and then the furnishings, the kelim, etc., that goes inside the Mishkan. But when Moshe went ahead and conveyed that to Bezalel, he switched the order. And he said, build the kelim, the furnishings, and then build the Mishkan. The opposite order that Hashem had commanded Moshe. And the question is, why? Why did Moshe switch it? And Bezalel even goes over to Moshe and he says, Moshe, I don't get it. The way of the world is first you build a house and then you put the things inside. You don't go shopping for a couch, for the drapes, for the kitchen table, and then start, okay, now let's put it over here on the side and we'll just build a house and then move it in. First you build a house. And Moshe said, yeah, you're right. That's what Hashem told me. First build a house and then the furnishings. And Bezalel did that. Now the question is, so why did Moshe switch it? Why did Moshe first say to build the kelim and then, only then, the house? So Rabbi Wolf showed me a very, very beautiful answer. The Sefer Kerem Tzvi, of Tzvi Goldberg. And he says as follows. He says that this is actually a hashkafa, a difference between Hashem and Moshe. And in fact, there are many, many, many other sources. I'll mention just a couple of them today that we find this throughout the Chumash. And that is, the Yisod is, that Hashem cares about our glory. Hashem cares that we should look good. We should shine. B'nai Yisrael should shine. We don't care about ourselves. We care about Hashem's glory. We want there to be Kavod Shemayim, Kiddush Hashem. We want Hashem to be shining throughout the world. The Mishkan, the house of the Mishkan, represented that we, the Jewish people, are great. We're so great that we have this house that Hashem comes and hangs out with us. That's amazing. That shows how great we are. And that's why when Hashem was giving over the instructions, Hashem said, first build a Mishkan, which shows how amazing the Jewish people are. But Moshe didn't care about himself. He cared about showing how great Hashem is. The kelim, those furnishings of the Mishkan, those showed how much we care about Hashem. We want to serve Him. We want to bring karbanos. We want to eat with Him at the table. We want to serve Hashem. So for us, what's important about this Mishkan thing? The fact that we have a house that Hashem comes and hangs out with us? No, 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 that's not important. It's nice. That's not what we stress. We stress the avoda, the service towards Hashem. So therefore, Moshe flipped it. And Moshe said, the kelim come first, because that's the most important thing. The Mishkan, that is second. Ultimately, Bezalel did what Hashem wanted and did the Mishkan first and then the kelim. But the difference, the reason Moshe switched this, because this was depicting a fundamental part of the relationship between Hashem and Bnei Yisrael. We highlight Him, and He highlights us. The second example, brought by the Kli Yakar. The Kli Yakar brings many, many examples of this throughout Chumash. But one of them is in Parshas Tetzaveh, from this week's Parsha, that when it talks about creating, making the clothing of the Kohen Gadol, in Parshas Tetzaveh, Hashem instructs Moshe to first make the choshen, the breastplate, and then the ephod, the apron. However, in this week's Parsha, Perek Lamites, Pasuk Beis and Pasuk Ches, first the ephod, the apron, is made, and then the choshen. The exact opposite of what Hashem said to do. Hashem said, first make the choshen, then the ephod. And we went ahead and we made the ephod first, and then the choshen. Why the switch? So the Kliyakar explains, because the Gemara in Erchin, and Daf Tez Zayin Amud Aleph 16a says, that the begadim, the clothing of the Kohen Gadol, each one atoned for something different. The choshen atoned for injustice amongst the courts. False witnesses, cheating, lying, things that amongst us, maybe we weren't 100% honest, the choshen atoned for. That's why it's called sometimes the choshen hamishpat. It's the breastplate of justice, because it atoned for injustice. The ephod, the apron, atoned for idolatry, avodah zarah. And therefore, when Hashem was saying to go ahead and make the begadim, first he said, make the choshen, because that's more important to me. The choshen, I want the atonement for you guys. I want you guys to come out clean, the injustice amongst each other. I want that to come out good at the end. So make that beged first. Oh, avodah zarah, idolatry. Oh, someone worshipped another. That's okay. That's not so important. That's second. That's the ephod. But when we came to make the begadim, we said, we care more about idolatry. We care about that sin. Hashem, oh, we rebelled against you when we worshipped someone else. We want the ephod first. The choshen, okay, that's amongst us. Yeah, we want to look good. We want to atone for ourselves. But that is second. Again, Hashem highlighting us first, caring about us, looking good, and we reversing it and looking and caring for Hashem to be first. The Kli Yakar gives another example. When it comes to the Shabbos Mishkan relationship, in Parshas Kisisa, when Hashem is commanding Moshe, he says, build a Mishkan, and then he goes ahead and he says, and keep Shabbos. But in last week's Parshas Vayakel, when Moshe is conveying this over to Bnei Israel, Moshe pulled another switch. And Moshe says, first Shabbos, and then the Mishkan. Why the switch? Says the Kli Yakar, the exact same thing. The Mishkan represents that Hashem is willing to live with us. The sin of the golden calf, the Cheta Egel, we're atoned for. He loves us. We're so chashav, we're great. The Jewish people are great. So when Hashem gave over the instructions, he first mentioned the Mishkan. What's Shabbos about? Shabbos is a testimony to Hashem's creation of the world, how everything's all about Hashem. Zeicher l'maaseh bereishis. So Hashem said, that's not that important. The Mishkan, that's important. That shows how great the Jewish people are. That's first. But when we came in Parshas Vayakel and Moshe gave it over to the Jewish people, he flipped it. He said, Shabbos, that is first. Shabbos should be our focus. It's all about Hashem being great, Hashem creating the world. Mishkan, that shows how great we are, that's second. Another example. My favorite example is something we're learning Maseches Pesachim. If you look in the very beginning of the Mishnayos, open up a Mishnah in the back with the commentaries on the side, there's something on the side called the Tosos Chadashim. And Tosos Chadashim over there quotes Levi Yitzchak Mibarditchev. And he says as follows. He says that we keep on speaking about this holiday called Pesach. But if you look in the Chumash, there's no such holiday. In the Torah, Hashem calls the Yontiv Chag Hamatos. We switched it. We have Maseches Pesachim. We keep on talking about Pesach, Pesach, Pesach. But in the Torah, it calls it Chag Hamatos. What's the difference? So he says, very simple. He says, because Hashem wants to highlight what we did in the times of the Exodus. When we left Mitzrayim, we left so fast, Hashem told us to go, and we were out of there. Creating matzah, so we didn't have time to bake those breads on our back. It created matzah. But we say, look, Hashem, that was nothing. What's important to us? Hashem, you passed over each house. You did a Pesach move. That's what we're going to call the holiday. We're highlighting, and two things happened, both were true. But we highlight what Hashem did, and what made Hashem so great, and showed Hashem is so great. And Hashem says, no, forget about that. I want to highlight how you're so great. And he brings a second example over there. The Gemara in Brachos and Daf Vav Med Aleph says that both we and Hashem wear tefillin. In our tefillin, what does it say? Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Hashem is only the only one. Only no other God.
Hashem is great. And in Hashem's tefillin, it says, Mi ka'amcha Yisrael goyachad ba'aretz. Is there another nation like the Jewish people? Again, highlighting Hashem, highlights how great we are, and we highlight how great Hashem is. Now, this is something about, obviously, our relationship with Hashem, but it has a very big effect on how we relate to one another. We can always learn from the way that we relate to Hashem and Hashem relates to us, how we relate to one another, and especially how we relate to our own wife, or future wives. We'll see how we connect that in one moment. The Gemara in Maseches Chulin and Daf Nun Tes Amud Aleph 59a. The Gemara tells us a story of a guy who had a deer, and the hind legs were cut off. And the guy who owned the deer wanted to know, is it kosher or not? So he brought it to the house of the Rish Galusa, who was in charge of those days, and Rav was there. And Rav said, yeah, the animal's kosher. I don't see any reason to say it's not kosher. But Shmuel was there. Rav's a chavusa. Everyone said machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. And Shmuel said, whoa, hold on. How do you know that a snake didn't bite into that cut part of the animal and insert some venom? And if you eat this thing, you're going to die. So Rav said, I don't know. How in the world am I going to figure this one out? So Shmuel said, why don't we put it into the oven and we'll see if it cooks normally. He said, okay. So they put it into the oven, and the entire thing disintegrated, which was a sign that you weren't supposed to eat this thing. So what happened? What was the response of Rav? Rav said, quoted a pasuk in Mishlei, that when it comes to the righteous people, he's praising Shmuel. When it comes to the righteous people, Shmuel quoted a pasuk in Mishlei, praising Rav, and he said, when it comes to righteous people, iniquity never comes. You'll never end up messing up. Rav was about to make a big mistake. And you see, he was saved. Because Hashem protects those who are righteous. And Rav turned around, quoting a pasuk in Daniel, and he said, no secret is hidden from you, Shmuel. I mean, it was all because of you, Shmuel, that you were able to figure out that we shouldn't eat this thing. The same situation happened. Each one could have said, see that? Hashem takes care of me. I almost messed up. But Hashem has my back. And Shmuel and Rav and Shmuel could have said, you see, I'm a pretty big genius. I know how to go. That's not what happened. Each one praised the other person. Right? We could be learning the Chavrusa. We could be sitting and learning all day long. And at the end of the morning Seder, we understand something. And you can say, you know, it's because I sat for so long, I didn't get up. I was focused. I was working hard. I just tried again and again and again. It's my diligence. It's my hasmada. It's my smarts that I was able to figure this out. Or, since I was learning with someone, the fact that you were patient with me, the fact that you asked that question triggered something in my mind. I was able to understand it. It's all because of you. And the same thing that happened, we could look at it in two different ways. We could bring out the best and highlight the other person, and the other person can highlight us. Or we could be selfish. And we can say, oh, it's all because of me, it's all because of my hard work, it's all because of my co-hosts, my talents, whatever it is. We have to learn from this relationship between Moshe and Hashem, between Bnei Yisrael and Hashem, is that we have to try to look at that situation and see how we benefit from the other person, and how that other person had a big impact on what we did, and then we have to go ahead and highlight it. It's not so easy to drop our ego, but we have to go ahead and highlight what the other person did. And listen to this incredible Alshech on Megillas Esther. As we are now focused and starting to get ready for Purim. Listen to this incredible Alshech. We know one of the big turning points in Megillas Esther is that Mordechai overheard Bigson and Teresh plotting to kill Achashverosh. And he overheard, and at the end of the day, that's what saved us. And the pasuk says as follows: in Perek Beis, pasuk Chav Beis, Vayibada Davar leMordechai. It was known to Mordechai. Mordechai heard about this plot. So what did Mordechai do? He could have ran to the king and said, "Guess what? I have great information for you." someone's going to try to kill you. That's not what he did. The pasuk says, "Vayaged laEsther amalka." He went ahead and he told this to Esther. According to the Gemara Megillah Daf Yud Gimel, they were married to one another. So he went to his wife Esther, and he told Esther, "Look, this was going to happen." And what did Esther do? Vatomer Esther laMelech. Esther went with this news, this very important news, to save Achashverosh's life. B'shem Mordechai. She didn't say that, look, let me ask some information, it's going to save your life. Instead, she said it in the name of Mordechai. What's going on over here? Says the Alshech, Ho'olanu Musar Na'ev Enechma. The Megillah is coming to teach us a very beautiful, important lesson in Musar. Ba'yomer Adam, Kol Echad Yidrosh Achar Shalom V'tov Atzma. A person shouldn't always look for his gain, how he could be more successful, how he could advance. Kihu behevach, shekol od she'adam sham panav lehitiv al atzma. As long as a person is always looking to make him better, his self-gain, v'lo es re'eyu, and not his friend, v'gam re'eyu k'yotzei bo, and his friend also is looking out for his own benefit, as ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu made to this echa mehem. None of us are going to be the beneficiaries of Hashem's goodness. If I'm looking for my good and you're looking for your good, Hashem doesn't help either of us. Ki adarava, we see the opposite. Hamispalel al chavero, someone davens for his friend's needs, v'hut tzarech lo'osu davar, and he himself needs that same thing, but he davens for his friend, not for himself. Hu nan etchila, he'll be answered on his own need first. He brings a proof. That's the mitzvah haftal recha kamocha. Amar, ki Mordechai ve'Esther yachad shnei michziku betov midazu. Esther and Mordechai, they were strong in this aspect. She called echad ha'imistak l'hafi l'chaveru. Each one was looking for the other person to gain. V'Hashem heitiv l'shnei, and then Hashem gave both of them good. And that's what it means, Vayivada Hadavar Mordechai. Mordechai knew, and he could have made himself the hero. But Mordechai said, you know what? I'm going to tell Esther. I'm going to tell Esther to do it. So when she goes, she's going to be deserving of reward. The king is going to appreciate her. The king is going to listen to her. Esther, go tell him the news. He had no intention that Esther was going to go say it in his name. He was just like, Esther, go. If I wanted to say it in my name, I could do it myself. That makes me look better. Esther, you go, you do it, so you look good. I want you to shine. And Esther said, you're not going to pull that one on me. I'm going to say it in your name, so that you shine. Each one of them could have been the hero. Each one of them could have gone ahead and got all the reward on their own. But they wanted the other one to get it. And then, they're both obviously the beneficiaries of good. The rest of the story is history. The days of Purim because of it. So what do we see? A couple could have a child, and someone could come to you and praise you on your child and say, wow, your child is so well behaved. So you say, yeah, it's because of me. I know how to parent. Or you could say, oh, it's because of my wife's incredible discipline and the way that she's machanich the child. That's why he behaves so well. And she could say, oh, it's because my husband is a great role model or whatever it is, and that's why each one can always highlight, as long as you're in a relationship with another person, each one of that people in the relationship are part of any success that the two people have. And the question is, do we highlight the other person, or are we selfish and try to grab the kavod, try to grab the honor for ourselves? We learn from the relationship between Hashem and Moshe, from Rav and Shmuel, and from Mordechai and Esther, that we have to always try to highlight the other person. And this is something about relationships that could grow and build and thrive in the greatest way, but it's not easy. And it starts now. It starts now in yeshiva, when we're working together with other people, whether it's within our classroom, with our shir, with our rabbi, with our chavrusa, with our roommate. It's very important for us to always highlight the other person in the story, and how he is a major player in your success. Yes, it means to drop our self sometimes from it and from our ego. And it's not so manly sometimes to say these things to our friend, but who's looking to be manly? Looking to be giants. We want to be great people. And this is the greatest way for us to be able to remove ourselves from that ego and to be able to highlight other people, praise them, let them know about it. And then Be'ezus Hashem will be zoche to the Geula that Mordechai and Esther were zoche to. We'll be able to represent the relationship between Hashem and Am Yisrael. We'll be zoche to tremendous great things.
Amen. Amen.